This chazar is a chenish b'chazar shagam from Yehuda Masechtas Ksubas Daf Kuf. Zok the mission of a property sold by Bezin was sold at a sixth less or more than its true value. The sale is void. Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's valid because if not, in what way is Bezin better than anybody else? Zok the mission, if Bezin put out notices of an impending sale, then even if they sold a field worth 100 for 200 or a field worth 200 for 100, the sale is valid. If a shliach sells land, is the sale treated like that of a widow and the sale becomes void if not sold for the true value? Or is it the sale like the sale of Bezin, in which case it does not become void unless the error is equal to a sixth of the value? So Rav and Rav Nachman said he's treated like Bezin since he's not selling for his own sake, like Bezin also doesn't sell for his own sake. Shmuel bar Bisna, in the name of Rav Nachman, said he's treated like a widow because he's an individual person selling the land like a widow. Where Paskins, the shliach is treated like the widow. Why is it that regarding the sale, the shliach is treated like the widow who may not deviate from the instructions at all? Regarding Truma, we have mission that says if a shliach separated a bit more, a bit less than the principal's intention, the separation is not void. The Gemara explains regarding Truma, since people of different levels of generosity give different amounts, a shliach can claim he thought the principal was a more generous or less generous person. However, when it comes to selling a property, if it's sold less than its value, it's a complete mistake, which is not something that the shliach was appointed to do. Rav Huna bar Chanina, in the name of Rav Nachman, said Alocha follows the Chachamim, meaning the Tanakama of our Mishnah. In fact, Gemara, is this to say that Rav Nachman does not hold the view of if so, how is Bezin any better than anybody else? We find that Rav Nachman says that if a court appointed a guardian divides the property of an estate among orphans, when the orphans become adults, they may not dispute the way it was divided, because if we say that they may, then how is Bezin better than anybody else? We see Rav Nachman does hold to the Svara. And for the Gemara, our mission is discussing where Bezin made an error. In such a case, Rav Nachman says that we don't have to be concerned for them. They made the error. It's their problem. We don't have to be afraid for their name. In the case of a guardian, they didn't make a mistake, and we therefore must respect their decision. In fact, if no mistake was made, then in what way did the orphans want to complain about the division? Mark says they want to complain about the location of the properties and the way that they were divided, but not with the values. The values were done properly. Dr. Marav Dimi said there a Rebbe passing in an actual case that the Chamim, but Prata, the son of Rebbe Lozab and Prata HaGadol, said to him, if so, how is Bezin any better than anybody else? Based on that, Rebbe reversed his decision in that case. Rav Safra said that Rebbe was going to pass like the Chachamim in an actual case, but before he could do so, Prata made his comment, and Rebbe therefore did not even pass him like that in the case of the Chachamim. So you see that not Prata that he reversed, Prata that he changed his psak before he actually made an official psak. Maybe we can say that Rav Dimi and Rav Safra argue whether one may reverse the psak that was given if it turns out that he erred in something taught in the Mishnah. But I said, no, maybe everyone would agree that psak could be reversed. Machlokes is, there may just be as to what the actual case was, whether he had already paskin, or he was about to paskin. So, Rav Yosef said, when a widow sells her husband's properties, the guarantee obligation to the buyer is on the orphans. Also, when Bezin sells the property of the state, the guarantee obligation is on the to the buyers, again, on the orphans. So, Rav Pshita, where he says, we would think that when someone buys a property from a sale of Bezin, since it's announced publicly for a while, they will know the... there will be no one who will later claim the property, and he therefore purchases it even without a guarantee. Rabbi Yosef teaches there is a guarantee, and it's the responsibility of the orphans. Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Yilayim v'chulu, until what point will an error of Bezin remain valid according to Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Huna bar Yehuda, in the name of Sheisha, said it will remain valid unless the error is in more than half of the true value. Rav Bryson said this as well. Amir, in the name of Rav Yosef, said, if Bezin sold a property without first announcing the intent to sell, it's as if they erred regarding a clear halacha in a Mishnah, and the sale would therefore be retracted. Fekman, what does it mean, as if they erred regarding a Mishnah. They have actually erred regarding a Mishnah. Moshe says the Mishnah could be understood as referring to a shliach who sells without announcing the sale for a period of time. We would not know that it refers to Bezdin as well. Therefore, we have to teach that as well. Our Mishnah says that if the sale of Bezin was off by a sixth of the true value, the sale is void. This suggests that if the sales price was equal to the value, it would be a valid sale. Presumably, this refers to where there was no announcement, and still we see it's a valid sale. And for the Gemara, the Mishnah is discussing where they did announce the impending sale. Since the last case of the Mishnah was where they made the announcements, which is why the sale is valid, even though they sold it for less than the value. It must be at the previous case discussed where the announcement was not made, and still we see that the sale is valid. And for the Gemara, the Mishnah's earlier case discussing where the announcements was not made, because the Mishnah is dealing with items that are sold without needing the announcement, whereas our Maimar was discussing things that needed an announcement. Another Terezak the Gemara, the Mishnah is dealing with a time when announcements are not made before selling, as we learned that announcements are not made before selling for a head tax, or for support, or for burial expenses. Third Terez, our Mishnah is discussing a place where they did not have the custom to announce before selling, as we find it was the custom in Nahar Da. Or here the name of Shmuel said, when we must sell the movable items of orphans, we do so immediately. Rav Chisanei Rav Avimi said, we wait to sell them in the market. The Gemara says they don't argue. If the market day is near, we wait for the market. If it's far away, we sell it immediately because we don't want the items to depreciate. We find that Rav Kahana delayed selling beer of an orphan until Yom Tov. He said, although it may begin to spoil a little bit, it will bring about quicker and better money if we wait for Yom Tov. Rav Avinu had wine of orphans. He wanted to ship it along with his wine to a distant city to sell. It would be easier to sell there. He asked Rav Ashi whether he's allowed to do that, or does he have to be concerned that the ship carrying the wine may sink. Rashi told him, you don't have to treat the orphan's wine with more care than your own wine, and therefore, since you're doing that to your own wine, you can do it to the orphan's wine as well. Zok the Mishnah, a wife who is a minor and does mian, a wife who is a derabbanan deka erva to her husband, and a wife who is an islandess, are not entitled to a ksuba payment. Their husbands have no right to the produce of the wife's maluk property. The wives are not entitled to support, and are not entitled to keep the worn out clothing. Zok the Mishnah, if the husband married the woman knowing that she was an islandess, she is entitled to a ksuba payment. Zok the Mishnah, in the case of an amana married to a kohen gadol, a divorcee, or chalusa married to a regular kohen, a mamzeres, or a nasina married to Yisrael, or Yisraelis married to a mamzer or nasin, the wife is entitled to a ksuba payment. Zok the Mishnah, Rav taught the first case of the Mishnah as referring to a girl who was married off by her brothers as a minor and was then divorced while still a minor. That's considered to be a derabbanan deka marriage, and she's not entitled to a ksuba. He would certainly hold this way where the girl did mian. Shmuel taught the Mishnah as referring to a girl who did mian, however, a minor married off by her brothers who then got divorced while still a minor, would be entitled to a ksuba payment. Shmuel follows the Shita elsewhere where he lists a number of differences between the minor who does mian and one who gets divorced. He says a minor that does mian does not get a ksuba payment, does not become possible to marry the husband's brothers, does not become possible to marry a kohen, and doesn't have to wait 3 months before getting remarried. A minor who gets divorced is entitled to a ksuba payment, becomes usher to her husband's brothers, becomes possible to marry a kohen, and has to wait 3 months before remarrying. Why does Shmuel have to list these differences when a Mishnah already lists the difference between a of being puzzled to the brothers and being puzzled to a kohen? Or I say, list them because of the additional difference of what needing to wait 3 months before remarrying, which is not listed in the Mishnah. Checking where Bryce brings machlokes as follows. But the answer says the marriage of a minor is meaningless. So her husband does not get her fines or her earnings. He may not annul her vows. He does not inherit her. And if he's a kohen, he may not become tummy to her if she dies. The general rule is if she's not considered to be his wife at all, except that she needs to do mian to break the relationship. But Yeshua says the marriage is meaningful. So he gets her fines and her earnings. He may annul her vows. He inherits her. He may become tamei to her if he's a kohen. The general rule is she's considered to be a full-fledged wife to Rabbanon, except that she can terminate the relationship with Mian. Maybe we can say that Rav holds like a Belozer and Shmuel holds like a Yeshua. Mar said, would agree Rabbi Eliezer would hold that she would not get a ksuba payment. However, there would be machlokes regarding Rabbi Yeshua. Shmuel could clearly hold like a Yeshua, who can be said to hold that she gets a ksuba payment. Rav could say that he also follows Rabbi Yeshua, and he would say that Rabbi Yeshua only says that the benefits from the wife to the husband exist in this marriage, but he would hold that the benefits from him to her, meaning the ksuba payment, do not exist in this marriage.